All right. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the schools that came and are with us. Appreciate you being part of the tournament. We've had a really, really great time. If you weren't able to be there, I encourage you to come and watch the games. It's a great facility, and things are going well. Brother Beckham, why don't you come? Brother Beckham, he slipped into our service Sunday night, and he's an evangelist, and I've heard of him, wasn't able to meet him. But I told him, I said, if you have an empty slot that comes up, let me know. And he just so happens he didn't have a place to be tonight. And so we're honored to have him preach for us. I'll let him introduce himself and his wife, but we're thankful for him being here. Brother Beckham, why don't you come preach? And why don't we give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome?
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Ask my wife to stand, Jeanette. All right. It's an honor to be here. Amen. And at my age, it's a privilege to be anywhere. Amen. And enjoyed hearing your preacher preach on Sunday night. It blessed my heart. We had a cancellation this week, and I just thought, well, let's go over and be in the service of a new church. And I felt so much at home here. And thank you so much. Can I ask you a question? Is it okay? Give me permission. Is it okay? All right. Have you talked to the Father today? Brother Beckham is the founder and president of the Intercessor Ministry. And for 21 years, I've been traveling around the world, literally, preaching on prayer, calling the church back to prayer. And I know our group, we go out soul winning, we preach the word of God, we live holy lives, we do all those things. But you know, one of the things that we don't do is prayer. The average preacher prays 12 minutes a day if he prays at all. The average church person, they tell me, may pray 5 minutes a day if they pray at all. Would you do this for me? Would you ask yourself, have I prayed today? Have I talked to the Father today? Have I spent time with him today? What is prayer? People will ask me, Brother Beckham, you wrote the books on prayer, so tell us the definition of prayer. It's a relationship. Do you know you couldn't even be going to heaven tonight if it was not for prayer? That's the way you get into the family of God, by praying. Well, I just killed the service, so we might as well just sit down, huh? But let me call your attention tonight. I would like to bring a message to you that I have, that God has really honored down through the 21 years. This is my 55th year preaching and my 21st year in the intercessor ministry. And we get to, I am very honored. I get to preach all over the world and in some of the greatest churches in America. And I'm a blessed man. I do not take it for granted at all. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's my subject tonight. It is natural. It is natural for a Christian to pray. A man said to me after preaching this in a well-known Bible college of America, Brother Beckman, it's not natural for me to pray. I said, well, sir, you might better check up. Because according to the word of God, it should be as natural as a baby. When a baby is hungry, when a baby is thirsty, when a baby needs attention, what do? They cry. And it should be just as natural for us as Christians to pray to our Heavenly Father. Matthew Henry said it this way, you may as soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray. Jonathan Edwards put it this way, prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is to life. So praying should be as natural as it is to breathing. And so I want to prove that from the Word of God. Is that okay? Just take the Word of God and prove it. Not teaching you my thoughts or my ideas. Someone said, Brother Beckham, why don't you interpret the scripture? Because I'm not an interpreter. I'm a preacher. I'm not here to interpret scripture. I'm not here to tell you what it says. I'm just here as a mouthpiece for God. Okay? First of all, write it down somewhere. It is natural for a Christian to pray because the spirit of prayer dwells in them. Look with me to 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you, which ye have of God. And you're not your own. Do you realize tonight that the Holy Ghost lives it within us to prompt us, to lead us, to guide us into our prayer walk with Him every day? Do you know if the Holy Ghost is inside of you, and if you are born again, He is inside of you, and He will do His job, and He will lead you to pray every minute of the day. Why? Because He is the one that wrote the book that says, pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. Pray always and not faint. See, all that is Bible. Who wrote that? The Holy Ghost of God. And He lives inside of you. He lives inside of me. And He leads us to do that. Do what, preacher? Pray. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. At the time of your conversion, at the time of my salvation, the spirit of truth and faith and holiness and grace and supplication moved into our hearts. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he said it in this way. Listen, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we do what? Because we have been adopted into the family of God, we do what? We pray. Now that's what the Bible says. You say, Brother Beckham, I don't pray. The only time I pray is when I'm going through a trial or I can't handle something, then I turn to God. Oh my, that's terrible. That's terrible. But there are hundreds of millions of people that has that idea. But that's not biblical. What is biblical is because you have the Holy Spirit in you and you've been adopted into the family of God, you should be a prayer warrior. And by the way, I found out Sunday night that you are a soul-winning church. I found out that your preacher is a preacher. Amen. He believes in the Word of God. But let me report to you, in his message, he talked about witnessing and soul winning and all this. Years ago, I used to travel across the country to set up soul winning programs. And you're looking at a soul winner. I love to win souls. I love to talk to people about their salvation. But let me tell you, after 30 years of preaching, I found out I couldn't be much of a preacher and I couldn't be much of a soul winner without being a prayer warrior. Amen. And so after my first wife died with brain cancer and breast cancer, I rediscovered my prayer closet. I rediscovered the need for me to walk with God if I'm going to be a good soul winner, if I'm going to be a good preacher, if I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm going to have a relationship with God. Not just come to church, not just sing in the choir, not just go through the motions, but be real. Be real. Why? Because the world is watching us. They are watching us. They are watching us, church people. And we talk about God and we talk about all, but do we talk to Him? Do we depend upon Him for our daily strength every day? Or do we get weary and faint? See, that verse in Luke, G. Campbell Morgan is one of the few preachers that put emphasis on the word always. I have heard hundreds of preachers preach on prayer, and oh my, they'll preach on that word prayer, but they won't preach on always. They won't preach on not to faint. And those two words are very important in that verse in the book of Luke. Now, let me give you another verse. Look in Romans 8, verse 26. What am I doing? I am proving to you that if you are truly born again by the grace of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and if that is the case, then you will be a prayer warrior. Listen to this. Romans 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit moves on the heart of the believer to pray. Listen to it very carefully. Likewise, the Spirit. Oh. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There was times, Pastor, in my life, during Diane's death, let me tell you, days, weeks, months, I didn't know what to say. But guess what? I had a promise in the Bible that the Holy Ghost that lives in me would help me with my infirmities and my abilities to pray. And many times as I sat there and held her hands and cried, let me tell you, He helped me. Who is He? The Holy Ghost helped me. When you don't have the words to say, He will walk in and take over. Amen. He will do the interceding for us. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost to intercede for you? Huh? Raise your hand if you've been there. Okay. I have been there. But you know, there's a problem. There's a problem that I found. There's a problem that R.A. Torrey saw in his great crusades. And as I was reading Dr. R.A. Torrey's testimony about the condition of the local church in his day, in the late 1800s. Oh, my soul, I love to read. As I was reading his book, he made a statement that shocked that great conference that he was preaching in. There's a problem that we are facing today. What is that problem? R.A. Torrey answered it. Someone said, Dr. Torrey, how many people do you think is saved in the local church? They didn't really want to know. But they asked the right man. And you know what Dr. Torrey said in the 1800s? He said, I believe that 90% of the local church is lost. I'm thinking, oh my soul, could that be the problem today, that we got Bible preachers but not Bible prayer warriors? We got soul winners but not prayer soul winners. It always gets quiet, Pastor, when we get to these verses. But I want you to listen to Romans 8 and verse 9. The Holy Scripture says this: "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now listen, this is the Bible. This is not Brother Beckham's words. This is the Holy Spirit. He wrote these words. He put them in our Bible. And he put them in our Bible for our learning. So let's learn. Listen to it closely. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," what does it say? "He is none of his." And all of our churches are full. At one time, the independent movement had the largest churches in America. Boy, it was on fire. What happened? What happened? I'll answer it. We quit praying. We're doing everything else, but we are not praying. But the Spirit of God, the Bible says, will lead us to pray, will lead a true Christian to pray. So if the church is not praying, could it be? Could it be that Dr. Torrey was right? Could it be that the Bible is right? Oh boy, it's a little quiet in here. Huh? Am I still in the book? Am I still in the book? I'm in the book. It is natural to pray because we have the Holy Ghost in us. Number two, it is natural to assume that believers will pray because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Look in 1 John 2:6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. I hope you follow along. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Oh, listen, I can walk even though I've had surgery on my feet. I can walk. Preacher, I have no problem in walking. I'm doing okay. I'm not even limping tonight. I'm doing okay. But listen, I'm walking. But the Bible doesn't say just to walk. It doesn't say just come to church. It doesn't say just to go out soul winning. It doesn't say just read your Bible. It doesn't say be ye holy for he is holy. That's not all the Bible. The Bible says that we are to walk as he walked. And how did he walk? He walked in communion with the Father all the time. He said, "I can do nothing without the Father, for the Father doth the work." Boy, if we'll get a hold of that, we don't build churches. No, he built churches through us. How about that? Yes. If he that saith, how many of you will say with your lifted hands, "I'm a Christian, Brother Beckham, I'm saved." Okay? Now, let me ask you, are you walking as Jesus walked? Oh, my. And by the way, you can come to the altar anytime. I have seen hundreds of people at the altar during the preaching. I've seen these meetings, Pastor, go 5, 6, 7 weeks long. God just gets into them. But the Bible says, again, we are to walk as he walked. He was a praying man. Look in 1 John 2:4. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Oh, Brother Beckham, are you calling us liars? No, I would never do that. I would never hurt your feelings. I would never do that. Oh, it would kill me if I did something like that. Even thinking about it, I'm about to cry. Hey, I would never hurt you. But if this Bible calls you a liar, I'm not going to water it down. Amen. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. because it says that if you don't, he that saith, I know him, I'm a Christian, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. When was the last time he talked to the Father? Look in John 10:27 with me. We can see from the word of God that if anyone is not interested in walking with the Lord, he or she may not be a Christian. Because you know, the number one thing in my life is to walk with the Lord, to try to please the Lord. How about you? Are you walking with him? You know, I am told that there are more than 30 references in the gospel to Jesus praying. Regarding his baptism, he prayed before. He prayed all night before he selected the 12 disciples. His transfiguration was graced with his praying. He prayed before some of his miracles. He prayed in the garden before the crucifixion. He prayed during the crucifixion. E.M. Bounds said, years ago, that his whole life was communion with God. He just wanted to please his Father. How about us? Why are you living for him? Are you pleasing him right now? Have you pleased him today? These are good questions. Oh my. But we have to be honest. Romans 8:27 says, he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who is them? You and me. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus prays for me? And prays for you. That's all he lives for. Wow. Write it down, number three. It is natural to pray because as believers, we love the Lord. How many of you would say, Brother Beckham, I love the Lord? Not a trick question. Okay? I'm not going to trick you. But how many of you would honestly say, Brother Beckham, I love the Lord? I would put both hands up. If I could, I would put both feet up in the air. I'm telling you, I love my Lord. I really do. Someone said, but he took your wife so young at the age of 49. Brother Beckham, you still love God? Oh, let me tell you. She was really just eaten up with cancer, and Jesus came and took her home. Why shouldn't I love him? I love him more now than I did before then. Amen. Oh, God is good to me. Is God good to you? Yeah. It's natural to pray because as believers, we love the Lord. Look in John 14:15. Excuse me, just for a moment. Thank you. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments. How many Bibles do we have here tonight? Let me see them. Yeah, all over the house. We have Bibles. If you ever come to my study in Walkertown, North Carolina, I live right around the corner from Gospel Light Baptist Church. My membership is there. And if you ever come, like Brother Wilkerson came last year, and he wanted to come to the house, and he did. And I walked him into my study. He said, wow, 10,000 volumes. And he just, how many of you know John Wilkerson? he stood there and he just kept pulling books off the shelves. And he would, Brother Beckman, do you know this? And he would read it to me. And then he came back Wednesday night for another two hours, which he could have stayed all night. He's a good friend. And but he was walking around and he saw this 9-foot shelf or this 9-foot bookcase, and he said, Brother Beckham, how many Bibles do you own? I said, oh, about 100 or so. And he said, wow. And then he kind of teased me a little bit. He said, are they all King James? I felt like bopping him on the head. Of course they are all King James. Amen. This is the word of God. But it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, I see Bibles all over this room. I see them in your lap. Oh, my. It's wonderful to preach to a room full of Bible believers. Okay. Now, look in verse 21. You say, Brother Beckham, I love the Lord because I carry around the King James Bible. Well, I hate to report to you, that doesn't mean that you love the Lord. Well, Brother Beckham, I wear dresses down to my ankle, and I don't gossip, and I love everybody, and I know I love God. That doesn't mean you love God. What proves that you love God? Listen to it. In verse 21, he that have them, okay, I got it. I have the commandments. I have the statutes. I have the precepts right here. I have them. I have 100 copies of it. But does that mean that I love God? No. What proves that I love God is if I keep the commandments of God. If I keep them, then that is proof that Brother Beckham loves God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:23. If a man loves me, listen to it plainly. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Would you help me? Would you help me out right now for a moment? Just, we're going to go into the invitation, and I would like for you to help me. Number one, I want you to be honest, okay? And I want you to be honest, not to me, not to the church, not to the pastor, but I want you to be honest with God, okay? Now, I want you to shut your Bible. Just shut your Bible. I would like for you to stand, please. And I would like for you to open your ears, open your heart, and listen as I read 8 verses to you. I'm going to read John 14:21 before I read the other verses. But let me ask you, how many of you believe that the Bible is written, all the Bible is written for us today? You believe that? Okay, we got that settled. Listen, the Bible says, if a man loves me, if he has time, he will keep my words. It doesn't say that. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Now listen, all the Bible's written to us, right? Listen. Matthew 6:6. Pray to thy Father. I know the context. But if we're going to preach that this book is for us today, we're going to have to live like it. And so that verse, so one man going out the back door one night not long ago said to me, Brother Beckham, that was written to the disciples. I said, aren't you a disciple? Good night, Brother Beckham. Good night. Bye-bye. If a man loves me, He will keep my words, Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, pray ye. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 9, 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I don't know how many missionaries you have, but most church people can't even tell you 10 of the names of missionaries. I hope you can. I hope you're different than a lot of churches I go into. But, you know, we send them $100. We send them $200 or whatever you may send them. But you know, if I was a missionary and if you was a missionary in some of these countries, you would want the local church to pray for you, wouldn't you? We need to know our laborers. We need to know them by name. We need to pray for them. Amen. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Luke 18, 1. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. Amen. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always, there it is again, with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. Packed full of instructions there. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I didn't write it. But my interpretation is different. No. What does it say? Pray without ceasing. Now, Mom and Dad, now listen to me. If little Johnny and Susie, here you are going out of town, and you want Johnny to cut the grass, and you want Susie to take care of the house, and they look at you, and they said, "Well, Dad and Mom, we hear you, but our interpretation of that is a little different." And they start telling you what they thought. And the grass is about this high. But little Johnny said, "It's not time to cut the grass yet. And the house is messy and it's not time." You wouldn't put up with that at all, would you? Amen. It would hurt your feelings too, wouldn't it? Amen. Yeah. Well, guess what? When we try to come up with excuses while we don't pray without ceasing, it hurts our Father. It grieves him, by the way. It quenches him. And then 1 Timothy 2:8, here it is again. I have to say, I didn't write it, but it says, "I will that men pray everywhere." So, I don't know. I haven't arrived. After 21 years in this type of ministry, wow. I feel like I know about that much. I wrote the first only textbook for fundamental colleges that I know of back in 08. One of our presidents of one of our major Bible colleges at breakfast said, "Brother Beckham," I asked him, "why don't you teach prayer in your college? Why isn't it a required course? Why isn't it a four-year course?" He said, "Brother Beckham, we don't have a textbook. You got the burden to ask the church, to call the church back to prayer. Why don't you write the book?" I wrote it in 06, came out in 08. And we still don't have a four-year course on prayer. And they have the textbook. So here's my question. You paid attention very well. Jesus is asking this little crowd right here. He's saying, "If you love me, Will you keep my commandments? You claim to be a Christian. Will you start tonight talking to me? He says, let's have a communion together. Bring your burdens to me. Let me help you. Think about that, because we're going to give you the opportunity in a moment to answer the voice of God. This little section. Do you really love him? When was the last time you talked to him? See, we talk to people that we love. How about this section? How about it? He said, preacher, I'm a preacher. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school. I know. I was there. But if you love him, you may need to just come in a few moments, get at the altar and say, God, forgive me. I remember doing that after 30 years of preaching, after losing Diane. I remember that day. I remember at her grave, I said, God, I'm sorry. Amen. If you'll open the doors, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Amen. And for 15 years, I did 52 week-long revivals a year, from Sunday school to Friday night meetings, 52 of them. For the last 7.5 years, been doing 48 meetings. Seen God really help. I move into services. But it takes honesty. Amen. It took honesty in my life. You think it was easy after 30 years of preaching and telling people that I love God, that I didn't love God? Preacher, it was tough. But I had to do it. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be preaching for you. I wouldn't be married to Jeanette. No telling where I would be. But I was in a situation like you are right now. The Holy Ghost was talking to me about my prayer life. He saw me preach. He saw me out passing tracts. He saw me doing all the good stuff. But he didn't hear me. And I am so glad that I knelt upon my knees and said, God, forgive me. Amen. Amen. At Diane's grave. So right now, let's do this. I'll just go ahead and give the invitation. Do we have someone to play? All right. If someone would come to one of the instruments and just play softly a song of your choice. No singing, just playing. In church, let's be truthful. Let's not hurt him. Let's not quench him. Amen. Let's start tonight. Would you come as she plays? Thank you. You may be here tonight and you say, Brother Beckham, see, sir, I realize I'm not even born again. I'm not even saved. I'm one of those R.A. Torrey talked about. And I would like to give my life to the Lord tonight. Anyone like that? Anywhere in the auditorium, at the altar? Brother Beckham, I would love to accept the Lord tonight. I'm sure there are counselors, soul winners that could come to you, show you from the Word of God how to be born again. Anyone? Pray as long as you need to pray. I try to never rush people. Usually I don't say much during the invitation. Very little. Thank you so much for listening, paying attention. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me come and preach to your people. Thank you so much. And I'll be in much prayer for you all. And we do have a book table out there. I don't say much about it, but it's out there. If you would like to go by and look at some stuff, Jeanette will be out there. And can I say one thing about the Bible? I've been working on the Intercessor Prayer Bible for over 20 years. And I took all the prayers of the Bible and I put a commentary to each one of the prayers. And so it's going to look almost like a Scofield Bible. And the King James Bible, I've been told, has 275,000 words. And it has about 160,000 to 180,000 words of commentary in it. And we're hoping to unveil the Bible in October of this year at the National Conference, and I covet your prayers. We're right now, in the last stages, and we really need your prayers, okay? And then the magazine is out there, the Intercessor Magazine, and some other stuff. Thank you, I love you, and hope to see you soon. All right, preacher.